Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. Now I can.
All right. That's good. Good to see Ella Tianzlan. Ella Angela Jenkins. Pastor Jenkins, good to see Antoine, India. Praise the Lord. Look at Colossians tonight. A few minutes. I was reading this earlier today. Colossians, first chapter. Paul's writing to the church in Colossae, or Colossians, and they are primarily a Gentile believers, because Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles, and it's encouraging. We're just going to read some of this tonight, because tonight is Now and Forever, it's also Bible study, and we'll read a little bit out of this, starting about verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in the world, to bring it forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard it and knew the grace of God and truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto you, to us, your love in the Spirit. And you need to know in the Colossians, and I'm going to read this again in the New and Living Bible, because the words there, unless you sit down and just really think it out, is kind of heavy. He says in this, about verse 3, we always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. Your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news or the gospel. The same gospel that came to you is going out all over the world and is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it's changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. One thing you need to know too about the saints in Colossians is that they, it seems to be, as you read in the first and second chapter, Paul talks about not having laid eyes on them. They are a church that started by Epaphras. I guess that's how you pronounce his name, Epaphras, yes. And Paul is sending them greetings and writing to them because they have been reported to by Epaphras, but he has never seen them. Mm-hmm. Hasn't visited them yet, but they're praying for them because Epaphras has this work started and it's going really well, and they're praying for them. And he's makes a point of saying to them, he's heard about their faith, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. I want to say, when I read this, the hope that you have in heaven. Anybody who comes to Christ and doesn't come for the hope that they have in heaven will probably not receive the Holy Spirit. And they can be as faithful as they like, and they can be whatever they want to be. But unless your hope is in heaven, to believe in Jesus Christ is to believe in eternal life.
Yes.
And even though I'm a firm believer in preaching, because Jesus told the disciples that no man having forsaken houses or land or mothers or fathers, sisters or brothers and all those, but they should also receive in this lifetime. In another place he says 100-fold. Houses and lands and mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers. In other words, you won't be alone.
Right, yes, yeah.
Anybody who's in God and says they live a lonely life, I don't know how you do that, because God will surround you with people who are, you know, the Spirit of God is drawn to other people who have the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yeah.
I can't say much about people who somehow or another they seem to always be someplace all by themselves. And they always seem to be, you know, isolated or whatever. I don't know. I'm not going to say they're not saved, but I don't know what it is where they're missing the point in God. Because God would have you have fellowship. There are not many of us. There are only four or five of us in here tonight. Two or three on the screen. Really only three people on the screen. My son, India, and Ella Jenkins. I don't know where everybody else is. But and this is and Zoom is not a very is not really a very good fellowship tool. It's just a tool that works under certain circumstances.
Right. Yes.
It doesn't in any way substitute for being in the person of people who are in God. It doesn't take the place of being among people who are in God. And to have the fellowship of a body that is in Christ. And when we say that, we have to be careful too, because you know, if you there's a belonging that you belong to. Let me see if I can explain like this. We're all people and we're all humans. But I have a family. I belong to a family. I have an immediate family, my wife, my daughter, my son, my grandson, my sisters or whatever, my sister. Then I have an extended family, my cousins, and aunts, uncles, and all of those. But I belong to a family.
Yes.
I don't belong to every family in the United States. I don't belong to every family in the world just because I'm human.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You know, I have a family that I belong to. It's the same thing in church work. When we're saved, God joins us to a body of believers. And we are brothers and sisters with all those who are in Christ whose name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we don't have, but I'm not in the body of, I'm saved and I have the same Spirit and the same Holy Ghost. I'm even in the same organization as Spirit of Christ, but I'm not a member of Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
Right. I'm not a member of Christ Redeemer. We are. I mean, I love those people. They love us, and we have fellowship. But they have a body of believers in Christ Redeemer. They have a body of believers in New Covenant, and they have a body of believers in Lily of the Valley, and I have a body of believers in Promise, and so forth and so on. And this is the way that this is the way that God has us have fellowship one with another. Unless. There are very few circumstances where we're ever just isolated, you know, for a period of time you might be. Mm-hmm. Because John was on the Isle of Patmos, he was by himself, but that was for a special reason. And really, he wasn't completely by himself. He was isolated from the other saints, but he, you know, but only for a special amount of time. God would have it so believers would be joined together so that they could worship frequently and so they could come together. I'm also not a strong believer of people belonging to a body where they don't have access to it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's only, you know, you can for a while, you know, you can travel up and down the road to a church just 30 miles away, 40 miles away, or whatever. You can do that for a while. But that's not supposed to be a life's work. You're supposed to be able to join yourself to someone who's closer.
Yeah.
And I, for one, I'm kind of different from everybody else. I'm not one of the people who's a firm believer. And I believe in being in Christ and doing what you need to have a good, wholesome life in Christ.
Amen.
I don't believe in traveling 150 miles, 175 miles every Sunday.
Yeah.
To worship with a body of believers. I really believe unless you live in Arizona or Idaho or Wyoming someplace. If you're traveling 100 miles in one direction to get to a church, you probably pass a church somewhere along the line where God is.
Yeah.
Can't say for sure, but you probably do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if God has you out in a place like that and there's nobody in between, and you're traveling 100 miles, 150 miles, I gotta think that God's not going to have you there long.
Yeah, that's right.
Before he puts you someplace and rejoins you with a body of believers. It is expected that wherever we go, if there, you know, if you notice and you take a lesson from Paul and take a lesson from the saints in that time, they join themselves to So wherever they went, they became a, they joined themselves to whoever mm-hmm. was there. So fellowship is part of being in God. During this COVID thing and whatever, and people will take advantage of that and probably never come back to church again. Well, that's their problem. You know, I'm not in favor of making any laws that people have to come to church or mm-hmm. or going into a situation where you tell people, you know, y'all get back in here, you got to come or whatever. I'm going to encourage you. You need to come.
Yes.
And I'm encouraging people, just like when we're talking about people being saved, we encourage people that they need to be saved. That's the most desperate thing you need to do in your human life is come to Christ.
Christ, amen.
Yes. The most needful thing, more needful than being married, more needful than anything else you do, the most needful thing you will do as a human being is come to Christ.
Amen.
And allow the Lord to come in, allow the Holy Spirit to come in. You will do, there's nothing more important in life than allowing the Holy Ghost to come in and being saved, allowing the Lord to save you. There's nothing, there is nothing more important than that.
Amen.
This is absolutely isn't it. In a human being's life, there's nothing more important than being saved. There's nothing that a human being needs to believe more than to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
There is no truth that a human being should have that's greater than believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died to set us free from sin and that his blood is for the remission of our sins and that he was buried for 3 days and three nights and that he was resurrected from the dead. And his resurrection gives us new life.
Yes, yes.
There's no, you know, gives us new life in earth and eternal life after the earth. New life, a way of living, a change of heart, a change of mind, change of attitude in the earth, a change of status, a change of living, a change of lifestyle, a change, a change, a change, a change, a change, while you're on earth and at the end of earth, eternal life, which is a complete change all the way into immortality.
Yeah.
There's no truth that you need believe more than that. And there's no decision that you make in life as a human being that is greater than the decision to allow the Lord to save you. It is a greater decision. It's a greater decision to decide to be married. It's the greater decision to you name it. There is no greater decision that you make in life than you make in allowing the Lord to save you and coming to Christ. There's no better decision you can make. And at the same time, if you don't make that decision, then all the other decisions you make don't matter.
Amen.
They might matter for some time in the earth, but that's temporary. If you don't make a decision to allow the Lord to save you, if you don't open your heart to the Lord, open your spirit and present yourself to the Lord so that not and ask Him to save you and allow the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit to come in, not just make it not just to say that, hey, you know, I'm going to accept it as being true, but to allow the Holy Spirit to come in. If you don't make a commitment to God, then every other commitment you make in earth is temporary.
Amen. That's true.
Because when you die, whatever commitment you make, you know, when Elon Musk goes, when he goes in the grave and I go in the grave, we both have the same amount of money.
Amen. That's right.
We do.
Yes, that's right.
When he goes in the grave, he's no richer than I am.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if they put him in a monument and put him in a glass coffin like Cinderella. When he dies, like Sleeping Beauty, when he dies, he's just as dead as anybody else.
Amen.
And then the riches really comes in as to where you go after this body dies.
Yes, yes.
And this soul and spirit, where will it inhabit its new body, in heaven or in hell? And that's a decision that you make while you're human and while you're living. So when Paul writes to the saints in Colossae and he says to them, they have a hope in heaven, this is really a monumental thing to have a hope in heaven. This is something that we must not ever give up. We must always have a hope in heaven. And he talks about this He says, since you first heard the truth of the gospel, of the good news of the gospel, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven, you have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news of the gospel. Verse 6. The same gospel or the same good news that came to you is going out over all the world. In other words, there's only one gospel. Mm-hmm. And everyone who's going to be saved will have to hear that. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your life from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. 7. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant, and he is helping us on your behalf. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. And in verse 8, he says, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. In other words, he declared unto us one of the things, you know, he says in John, the first chapter, and I'm watching, and I think it's fair to watch. John says, 1 John says, was it 1 John? I think it's 1 John or one of them. He says that we, in 1 and 10 or one of the, and we know we passed from death into life because we love the brother.
Yes.
One of the first things that Romans says about receiving the Holy Spirit is that he has shed the love of God abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it's a difficult, it's not hard for me to understand how a person can be saved and be so cold and so heartless. Because I understand when you take a look at it, you say, well, how can anybody be saved and be as cruel as they are? The same way people are saved and maintain so many of their other characteristics that the Holy Ghost is trying so hard to get them rid of.
Yes.
Remember always when you're looking at someone, anytime you're looking at anyone and you're saying about them how they don't reflect the brightness of his glory or their characteristics don't look like something that's it's someone who's in God. They don't seem godly. And we're not just talking about their church etiquette because when we come in to worship God, and rightly so, I don't disagree. When we come in to worship God, we should get in the attitude of worship. Our minds should be here. What we come for should be done. We should bring our minds in from the world. We should learn to worship God and to pray and to praise and to sing and to lift our hands and to clap our hands and to dance before the Lord and do all those things. Sometimes we say, well, how are they doing all that and the way they are? Well, I can appreciate at least when they come to the house, when you come to the house of God, at least put a smile on for them.
Yeah.
At least do that and help us have fellowship one with another in that particular time. But if the Holy Ghost had his way, he would change you so that when you leave here, you would also walk in the Spirit.
Amen, yeah.
And so when you come into the house of God and your attitude and your smile is there, but you're gossiping as soon as you walk into the hallway and so forth and so on, well, we really appreciate that you bring your mind in and you participate in the service, but the reality that you only do that for the period of time you're expected to do it before men, it makes your power in the Spirit very limited.
Yeah.
Because if the Holy Ghost had his way, you would not just act like a believer or act like a church person, you would be one.
Be one, amen.
That's the desire. So then, when he talks to the saints in Colossae, he says to them, your love that you have in the Spirit. Now, this is the 9 is where I really want to be, and I think I'm going to end up at about, I'll be finished by the time I get down to at least 13 at the longest, but I'm not going to spend time in all these. For this cause, or because of this, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, he says in verse 9. Oh, in other words, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. And this he also says in Ephesians, that we might have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. One thing that I desire, and because if you're going to know God, you gotta learn, you have to allow the Spirit to give you wisdom and revelation. You have to allow the Spirit to give you wisdom and knowledge through the Word of God. You, much of what stops people from being stronger in God is simply they just don't know enough about God. And much about what keeps people from changing to reflect the image of Christ and be like Christ is you just don't know enough about Christ.
Yeah.
And much of what you do know sometimes is not really according to the Spirit or according to God's revelation. People have given it to you in such a way, and you've memorized it, and you committed it to memory, but you haven't hid it in your heart, because when you really hide, in order to hide something in your heart, you have to have the revelation of it, because David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee."
Yeah.
He didn't mean I hid it as in to keep other people from finding it.
Right.
He meant I have put it here to stay.
Yeah.
And his point was, I haven't just heard the word of God or someone has just preached to me, but I've got it. It has become a part of me.
Yeah.
So that I don't, so that I'm not, I don't have to prepare myself and okay, I'm going to the house of God now. I need to smile. No, this is the way you are. This is the way you are. When you see Jesus' life, you're not seeing someone who puts on a front just because he's on earth.
Yeah.
This is the way the man is. The man Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he's incarnate on earth. This is how he is.
Yeah.
When you see Paul's life, and he talks about in 1 Corinthians what he knows about charity. When you read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, you aren't just reading something that Paul just found, in a book someplace and he just wrote it down for you. What you're reading is Paul's revelation that God has given him of what godly love is.
Yeah, yeah.
When you read 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and Paul talks about, charity or love, being patient, being kind, all this, he's got this. You know how we say, I got this? He's got this. He's not just telling you this is what it's supposed to be, but, and I'm working on it. Ella Reed, the man's got that.
He got it, yeah.
He's got it. I mean, when he says in Romans, because the love of God is surely brought in our heart by the Holy Ghost, he knows that. He's not just reading that to teach that. He knows that. He knows the love of God that is shed abroad in his heart by the Holy Ghost, because he knows how he hated the people who loved Jesus.
Yeah.
He knows how he hated Jesus himself and thought that he made a mockery of the Jewish people.
Yeah.
He knows what it's like to be mean and to put people into prison and to murder people, men, women, and children. He knows how to be hateful, and he knows how to be very stubborn about it and very persistent about it. And he knows the change that comes that could not come any other way, so that now you love the people of God, saints and sinners, enemies and friends, and you've come to a point now where you know the love that God has, and you understand why God saved you to start with. There are some people who don't understand. They think themselves a special case. You ever see the old, what commercial is it? Is it the State Farm commercial? There's a commercial out, I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, maybe you can't relate. There's a commercial where the insurance salesman, it's either telephone rates or it's insurance or whatever it is, but he's giving this guy this special rate, and this guy's saying, "Yes, I know, because you know who I am, and you're treating me special." He says, "No, it's for everybody." AT&T. And he says, "You give me this special rate, and because I know you know who I am." He says, "No, it's for everybody." He says, "Because I know I've been such a great guy." He says, "No, it's for everybody."
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the Lord. Some people think that the reason why God saved them because they're special. No, it's for everybody.
Everybody.
In this little AT&T commercial or whatever it is, the lady's trying to say it's for old customers, it's for new customers too. Anybody who comes, we don't have a special rate. This is just our, we have a good rate. It's just our rate. Well, in God, it's for old saints, it's for new saints, it's for everybody who comes. There is no special salvation. It's just a good salvation.
Amen. Yeah, it's a good salvation.
For whoever will come.
Yes.
For all that will come. And when we get to the point where we're like the Apostle Paul, where we're not just saying, "For the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost," and you really sense, "I'm different.
I
have a love now and a forgiveness and a way about people that I've never had before. You know, I'm just not like I used to be. So when Paul writes this, he really understands. So when he says that the love of them in the spirit, he's not, you know, don't make this be, when he says to know, the, know their love in the spirit, he means they have the love that the Holy Ghost gives.
Yes.
They have the love that 1 Corinthians 13 chapter talks about. This is saying a lot for these young saints who are in Colossae, because you have people who have been saved for a very long time, and they've read 1 Corinthians 13 chapter a million times, and it's like water off a duck's back. It has no effect on them. They never measure themselves to see if they have the kind of love in them that 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter talks about. Do you ever do like James says? Do you ever have that word mirror, that spiritual mirror, and you look at yourself in that spiritual mirror to see if you come up to standards with what the Word of God says? Do you, when you read, wherefore put away lying, or when you stop doing, do you measure yourself, or do you just look, or do you just shake your head and say, I know something, or do you look at you? And measure yourself and see, because the point of it is you need to allow Him to be talking not about others, but you need the Word of God to be talking to you.
Amen. Yes, yes.
When I read the Word of God, it talks to me. He's talking to me. The Word of God, when I read the Word of God, the Spirit is talking to me. When He says to me, every good and perfect gift comes from above, He's talking to me. When he tells me what the fruit of the Spirit is, He's talking to me. He's saying, this is how you should be if you really have the Holy Ghost. This is what you should display. This is what should be seen when people see you. If you have the Holy Ghost, they should see someone who's kind and someone who's gentle. This is, He's talking to me. Is He talking to you? This is what He's saying. Wherefore put away malice. He's telling me to put away malice. Not just telling me to tell someone else to put away malice. Because I know people who say man all the time, they don't even ever read that scripture. They don't read that anyway. There are some people who are so slick, they don't read the scripture that says, be honest among all men. But He's saying to me, He says to me, Charles, you be honest among all men. Yes. Don't just tell everybody else to be honest among all men. You do it.
You do it. Yes. Amen.
Because I'm looking for the chief shepherd to arrive.
Yes.
I'm looking for the chief shepherd to appear.
Yes.
I'm expecting a crown of righteousness that fadeth not away.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for. Amen. So He's saying to me, if you want that crown, you put away malice.
Amen. Yes.
So when Paul writes to the saints of Colossae, he says, Epaphras told me that you really know how to love people in the spirit. And, about 10. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. Or if you're reading the King James, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. Walk worthy means you please the Lord.
Yes.
You please the Lord. You satisfy God. Be worthy of your vocation. You know, walk worthy of your vocation. Walk pleasing in the Lord. Satisfy God. Come up to standards in God that you walk worthy of your vocation, he says in Ephesians. Worthy of, not that you've earned it. You never earn anything in God.
That's right. Yes.
And I think that when we say walk worthy, we think that we put on our church clothes, which I'm in favor of doing, and we come to service, which I'm in favor of doing, or we go to meetings, which I'm in favor of doing, and we come in on time, and we do all these things we're doing, and we are good, obedient church people, which I'm fully in line with and in favor of, and would not have you be someone who's disobedient and who's, who's not right. But somehow or another, we think when we do that, then we are worthy because we've earned something.
Yeah. We haven't.
You haven't earned anything.
Nope.
It is the grace of God that gave you the mind to come.
Yes.
Gave you the mind to get dressed. And
amen.
Gave you the mind to take the time. Gave you the grace of God, he says in 2 Corinthians, it gives you the mind to give liberally and to pay your tithes. It is the grace. You wouldn't have that mind if God didn't give it to you.
Amen. Right.
You certainly aren't going to get it from the devil.
No.
It is the grace of God. So when he says walk worthy of your vocation, he doesn't mean walk because you've earned your vocation. Walk worthy of what you have in God. He says you need to be someone who is satisfying to God because he's given you this ministry, given you this work, given you whatever you do in the church, whether you're the usher, the singer, the money counter, the whatever you are, he's given to you. Whether you're just the amen person, whether you're the hand-waving person, whether you're the dance, whatever you are. God has given you that vocation. You encourage the preacher when they're preaching because you say amen.
Amen.
You encourage the preacher when they're preaching because you nod your head and clap your hands. Don't encourage people who are wrong.
Encourage
people when they're giving you the word of God. Stop encouraging people when they're wrong.
Amen.
Know enough of the word of God when it's know how to say amen when it is the word of God and when it's right. And if it's not the word of God, don't say amen to that. You're adding yourself to something that is not God.
That's right.
But we need to walk worthy of what God has given. And he says, please the Lord, your lives will produce every kind of good fruit, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If you will do these things, this is how you win souls, and this is how you get people. This is why people come to Christ. No one's going to follow you to church if they don't like you. If they don't, and it's not that they don't have to just not like you. They just don't like your way.
That's right.
Not come to church with you if they don't like your way. You got this arrogance about you.
Yeah.
You got this way about you that's not right. No one's going to follow you to church.
That's right.
No one's going to come. He says about these people. He says they're fruitful. They're growing fruit. We need learners, don't we? Yeah, we better.
Amen.
Increasing in the knowledge of God. In other words, you'll learn to know God better and better. Know God better and better. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Learn to know God better and better. We all want to know more and more about Christ every day. We should read our Bibles. We ought to want to know more and more about him. We ought to want to be more and more like him. You can't want to be like Christ if you're not interested in knowing more about him.
That's right. Yes.
You can't want to be more godly if you're not interested in learning more about God.
Amen. Yeah.
And it's not just knowing about God and the thing, well, I read it. No, you want the revelation of God. You want the understanding that comes from the Spirit.
Yeah.
So you understand how he moves, what he does, what God likes. And even more so, you want the Holy Spirit to overwhelm your soul life and your affections so you learn to love what God loves. Not just pretend. I like that because God likes that. I like purple because God likes purple. You need to like more about God than a color.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to like about God than a color. Yes, there is. I've heard some of the wildest things said. I like that because God likes this and God likes that. And it's true and all. All of those are true. But I'm saying to myself, there's more about God to like than that.
Yeah. Amen.
And none of the things you said are not. All those things are true. But there's more to like about God than that.
Yeah, amen.
I like it that God doesn't, that God forgives.
Amen, yes.
Because if God didn't forgive, there would be no need for Jesus Christ. And there'd be no salvation and there'd be no eternal life for me.
Yeah.
I like that God forgives.
Yeah.
I like the principle of forgiveness. I like how burdens are taken away when you forgive. I like how it feels to be free. I'm praying and asking God now to strengthen me with might by his Spirit so that some of the things that that I'm reaching way back that have troubled me for a long time, so I can get those off my mind. There's a difference between repressing things and refusing to think about them, and life goes on. Bishop Lee used to say, rolling with the punches. And he was right. You can roll with the punches forever, but when you really come to it so that you can really forgive the things that are in your life, it's a burden that is gone.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And it doesn't And if it comes to your mind, it's a fleeting thought. You don't spend any time on it wondering about it. It's just a done. It's done.
It's done.
It's over.
Yeah.
I like those things about God. He says in this that you increase in the knowledge of God. 11. We pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And that you be filled with joy. Always thanking the Father he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in light. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet. And the word meet always means qualified us or made us so we fit in. Who has made us meet. In other words, we meet the standards, who's brought us up the standards. And don't get hung up on that. Don't run around calling your wife to help me. There's no such thing. Made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of saints. Fit is a better word, in light. In other words, saints in light. We you know, who've been, I'll read the rest of it. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. He, when the Lord saved us, he brought us out from the power of darkness. One thing that we have to understand tonight, tell yourself, I need the Lord to work more in me.
Yes, sir.
And strengthen me with my mind and spirit. And tell yourself, the devil doesn't have any power over me. And I need to teach that, and I need to learn that myself.
Yeah.
I need to get that myself. Mm. You need to tell yourself, the devil doesn't have any power over me. Mm-hmm. And I need to allow the Lord to convince me of that. I need to make up my mind that I am free from sin and free from Satan. I reckon ye also yourselves likewise to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, he says in Romans. You have to make up your mind. You have to decide yourself with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hey, you know what? I'm dead to sin. I'm separate from it. I'm done.
Yes, I'm done. No more association.
You know, Paul makes the association in Romans. He says, he talks about a woman who's married to a man and he dies, and he says now she can marry another man because that man is dead. He's not coming back. He's gone. It's done. Mm-hmm. He uses this in Romans, the 7th chapter. This is the analogy that he uses that they can understand. And just like that man is dead in that woman's life, just like someone's dead in your life, they're dead and buried, they're not coming back. This is the way the world is supposed to be to us.
Yeah, yes.
When you become alive to God, you die to sin.
Yeah.
And then sometimes our problem is since it's a spiritual thing, it is a spiritual thing when we come to God. When we're saved, it is the work is done in the spirit, or in the spiritual realm, you might say. But the work is done in the spirit. I'm carried back to Calvary. The spirit carries me back through time and makes me a part of the Calvary experience, makes me a part of the work of Calvary. The spirit carries me back through time, so the sins that Christ dies for are mine.
Yeah.
And the Spirit makes me part of his resurrection. I'm baptized into his resurrection. In other words, I'm a partaker. It becomes mine because the Holy Ghost makes it mine. He brings it on. This is the importance of the Holy Spirit. He baptizes me or puts me in Christ or makes me a part of Christ and causes me to be a partaker of Christ. And it's a reality, it's not just a psychological thing or statement or state of mind. It is a real thing that happens.
Yes, yes, yes.
I really do die with him on the cross of Calvary. Watch my knee is good explained. I really do go to Calvary with him in the spirit.
Yeah.
This is what Jesus is trying to explain to the woman at the well when she asked which church she should go to. And he's saying to her, it doesn't really matter where you go to church. He says, when you worship God in spirit. What you get from God, you get in the spirit. God is a spiritual being. You worship him in spirit. So Paul is writing to the saints of Colossae. And he's saying to them, you really need to grow in the knowledge of Christ and be filled always thanking the Father He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in light. In other words, always knowing, you know, He's always being giving thanks to God because we walk in the light. In Him is light and no darkness at all. Because He has delivered us from the, as He says, from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from the power of Satan and sin and translated us, moved us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this is something else, too, that we sometimes think about. When you ask the Lord to save you, there are no steps to it.
Yeah.
There are no steps to it. It isn't an elongated process.
Yeah.
When the Lord saves you, He saves you in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You're translated.
Yeah, amen.
One blink you're here, the next blink you're there.
Yeah.
One blink you're in sin, next blink you're saved.
Yeah.
It's an immediate thing.
Yeah, yes.
The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that you become a partaker of happens immediately.
Yeah.
It's not a working way. You don't have to go through classes.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of Bible classes and Christian education. I've been thinking about how we get our Christian education back in line and getting ourselves together. We have a lot of work to do. And it's still running through my mind of what we'll do. But you need to have Bible study. And you need to have Christian education to learn of God.
Yeah.
And to have, and to allow the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and revelation of God. But you don't learn your way into being saved. It is a confession that when you repent of your sins and you ask the Lord to save you, He does that immediately.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
And the Holy Spirit comes in mm-hmm. and abides. And he works with the soul to the extent that you will allow him to. If you won't come to Bible study, you're hindering the Spirit.
Yeah.
If you won't come to Christian education, you're hindering the Spirit.
Amen.
If you won't find a good church and be faithful to it, you're hindering the Spirit.
Yeah.
You can never grow in God running all over the universe. Sitting in church after church after church after church, you have to get somewhere and be consistent.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
What would it be like? What child do you think would like to change schools every month?
Yeah.
More than that, every week.
Yeah.
Or what child would ever be able to make it through school if they came to school once, come for a week and then don't come back for 2 weeks? Come for another week. Don't come back 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard on the pastor.
Yeah.
Trying to keep you caught up.
Yeah.
Trying to work with you.
Yeah.
It's hard on the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When you bounce around from place to place, make up your mind. You know, you're not going to grow in the spirit by simply having an attendance at places. You have to get somewhere and enroll.
Yeah.
And commit, yeah.
And
buckle down and allow the Lord to move and work in God.
Yeah.
You can't just, it's not one of these things where you can bounce from place to place and then you just be all right. Just go from place to place and somehow or another through osmosis or through some, you know, you almost treat God like it's some sort of magical act that if you go all over the place, you're going to become spiritual.
Yeah.
It doesn't work at all.
No.
Because in God, when the Holy Spirit comes in, He says to you, there has to be a consistency.
Yes.
By Him, all things consist. So Paul says in this, for He has rescued us, and I've got that, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins, and that's the last part, in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins. And then He goes on and talks about Him and His knowledge, and my time is running out. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, before by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. In other words, it simply says that Jesus Christ is the agent of creation.
Yeah.
God ordains that things should be created. The power that's used to create, the power that creates them is the Holy Ghost. And the agent who put them into being is Jesus Christ. And by Him all things consist.
Yes.
The earth rotates because Jesus causes it to do that.
Amen.
The sun rises, all the universe turns, all those things. By him, all things consist, all the way down to, as I like to say, your heartbeat.
Amen.
And I don't know why I talk so much about the heart.
Yes.
But God is the one who sustains that. He keeps that going in motion. He gives everything its properties. God, by him, by the person we know as Jesus Christ, who is the Word, he gives the gravity has its properties, and water has its properties, and fire has its properties, and air has its properties. About him, all things consistent. We have ours. You know, the power that works in us is electromagnetic. That's why when somebody's on the table and they're trying to crank the heart up, they shock them, shoot some juice to them.
That's right.
Same thing as enlightenment. God does that.
Yes.
By him all things consist. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. This is referring to Jesus Christ having all power and the fullness of all things. He knows what the Father knows. He knows what the Holy Spirit knows. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth and in heaven. In other words, Jesus is the Savior. He is the Savior. I'm reading this kind of quick because I want to get down to, this is not a long Christian education, but I want to get down to verse 23.
Yes.
And you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. In other words, he says in this, when he says this, he's talking about us when we were in sin. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemy, separated from him by evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. 23. But ye must continue to believe in this truth. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. He says, but you must continue to believe in this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news, when you heard the gospel. We have to, you know, people get cold. We have, you know, you'll be saved for a while and then you'll drift back, saved for a while. Saints of God, Jesus is, this is a moving train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, continually.
You know, Jesus is coming. It isn't like he's on his way from heaven tonight, because when Jesus comes, he comes in a moment and twinkling of an eye. He's translated. But the progress towards his coming is continual. If you get off for a while and you stop, you don't hit the pause button for Jesus.
No.
Heaven doesn't go on pause when you decide you're not going to be in Christ for a while.
No.
You go on pause, but heaven continues.
Yes.
And moves on.
Yes.
And it goes on. And the thing about it is when you decide to hit the play button again, you are right where you were, but everybody else is all the way down there somewhere. If you haven't, you know, and Timaeus says to me sometimes, I said, Timaeus, put that on pause. He says, but if you pause too long, it'll shut itself off. And we're the same way. If you pause heaven too long, you know what you're gonna do? You're gonna shut itself. It shuts itself off.
Yeah.
You put God on hold too long.
Yes.
The spirit hangs up.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
You know how you're gonna get around to.
Yeah.
You know how we're gonna get around to something. Hey, I know what it's like. I'm not talking about everybody else. You know how you're going to do something?
Yes.
It's like the people when you say to them, "Are you where do you stand with the Lord? Are you when Jesus comes back, are you going back with him?" Well, I plan to. Bad answer.
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
Yes.
It's a one word answer.
Yes.
Are you going back with Jesus when he comes?
Yes.
And if you can't say I'm going back with Jesus when he comes, you need to find out why.
Yeah.
You need to search and say, now why am I not sure I'm going back with Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
What is the problem?
What's
the problem? And ask God. Tell the Lord, Lord, I really want to go back with Jesus when he comes. And I believe he's coming. Because if you have the mind to go back with Jesus, that also is the same mind that you have to have, that if you should die tonight, you'll go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
If I asked you, if you die tonight and you should wake up in the morning, will you wake up in heaven? Yes. Well, I believe I will. Bad answer.
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Yes, yes.
If you die tonight and you wait and you don't wake up in the morning, will you wake up in heaven? The answer is yes.
Yes.
And if the answer is not yes, then you need to make it a yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you need to do the things that cause it to be yes.
Yes.
You need to get back to God, get back to the prayer, get back to the, you know, get back to the worship, get the mind that the Spirit gives.
Yes.
And it's not hard to get. You just have to ask God for it.
Lord,
give me back my mind to worship. Lord, I'm slowing down. And then when the Holy Ghost comes and says, get up.
Get up, yes.
And make a change, you have to get up.
Yeah.
He's not going to lift you out of your seat. Sometimes I look at people in this church, in our church, because this is the one I'm in, and they want to make everything be a rule. Well, let's make them go there. Let's make that a rule. Let's make that mandatory.
No.
In the years that I took over this jurisdiction in 1996 as a regional administrator, and people have called me. You can ask anybody who was around that time who know me, and we do things, and folk call me Elder Smith, Bishop Smith. Is that mandatory? And my answer is nothing's ever mandatory in God.
No. Yes, that's right.
If you're looking for a mandate, mandate is man-made.
Yes, yes.
Say that one more time.
If you're looking for a mandate is man-made.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You will be here. You will. Do it. God is willing that you should come, and He asks.
Yes.
He asks.
He asks.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I am not going to knock it down. If you don't crank this handle and let me in, I won't come in.
Amen.
If you don't invite me in, I won't come in.
Amen.
Well, make it mandatory. We need to make this mandatory. Well, if by the flesh you make me show up, I'm going to show up in the flesh.
Amen. Yep. That's right.
You're not going to legislate me to be anywhere and expect me to get there and be in the Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
Everything you do for God, you must do of your own free will. Only things that count in God are those things that you do of your own free will. Therefore, thereby God gets the glory. There is no glory in being forced to do anything. You can't be made to glorify God. But you want that mind. You need that mind. Now, that being said, but you want that grace that God gives, so you want to glorify God, so you want to come, so you want to pray, so you want to read your Bible. If it's not a want, you find a need to read your Bible and a need to pray and a need to be in God. Oh, my goodness, how pitiful you are if you don't have a need to be in God. Don't you know I'm praying every day when I invite people to church? I say, Lord, give them a need to come. Give them a need to come. Since they can't, because the reason why you don't come to God is you don't see the need. Well, I know about heaven. You don't know enough about heaven.
That's right.
Well, I know about God. You don't know enough about God.
Yeah.
Because if you knew enough about God, you know you need God.
Yeah.
If you knew enough about heaven, you know I need heaven.
Yeah.
If you knew enough about the Holy Ghost, you'd know I need the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, yes.
I need everything God's got. When you start to really know about God, people don't have to make you come.
That's right.
Amen.
He wrote in 2 Corinthians, and I love it. He says, the love of God constrains us.
Yes.
We thus judge if one died for all, then all were dead. He says, it is the love of God that compels me to come.
Yeah.
He says, I need it. I don't need the Roman whips. I don't need to be driven by the Sanhedrin. I don't need to be told. He said, it's the love of God that compels me to come. He says, because we know that if Jesus Christ had to die for, you know, that all of us should be saved, then we were all dead. It's the love of God that lets me know that without Christ, I'm dead. I'm in the dark. I'm lost.
Amen.
And it's one thing to be lost while you're here on earth. It's another thing to be lost when you leave it. We have to know the truth of the gospel, and this is why Paul is writing in this. He writes in this last paragraph, in this last scripture. He says in this, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, my hope is in Christ Jesus. If you continue in this truth, grounded and settled, Don't let anything unground you. You know, it'll pull you up, uproot you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can be grounded. You can be settled and you're just going along in the Lord. And the devil will send things to uproot you. You know, and it doesn't have to be bad. It can be good.
Yes,
money can uproot you.
Yes, yes.
Love life can uproot you.
Yes.
Careers can uproot you. Education can uproot you. All of which you can have and be in God. None of them to be refused. Family can uproot you. All of which you can have and be in God. And God has no problem with it. But don't let them move you. Don't let them take you out of Christ. Don't let them take away your eternal life. Don't let them take away the hope that you have in Christ for eternal life with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Don't let them take away your crown. Don't let them destroy your future. Don't let them get you off track. Don't let them, you know, when you're rooted and you're grounded and you're settled and you're moving along and church is nice and you're being blessed and God's answering your prayers and things are working out and you're doing okay and got some peace of mind. You're never going to have perfect peace of mind as long as you live on earth, but you got some peace of mind and things are working out okay. And then things come along and they try to uproot you and unsettle you.
Yeah.
And Paul is saying to the saints of Colossae, everybody standing. He's saying, y'all are doing really good. He says, from what Epaphras is telling me, he says, boy, he says, you are really moving along. He's telling me about how you're growing in God, how well you're doing, and about your faithfulness to God, about the hope that you have in God. He says, you're really doing all right. He says, but you need to continue in that.
Yeah.
He's telling them, he says, don't let anything turn you around. Hold fast to that thou hast. Let no man take your crown. Don't let anything turn you around.
Don't let nothing turn you around.
You know, make up your mind about God. You know, if you got God on pause, you need to hit play.
Amen.
Get back in God. Mm-hmm. If you got Him on hold, you need to answer that before the Holy Ghost hangs up.
Yes.
You know, you listen. What can I say? Everybody needs the Lord.
Everybody needs the Lord.
That's what we have on our side.
Yes.
I don't know of anything more true than that. Everybody needs the Lord. Whether they have Him or not, they need Him.
Amen.
Whether they serve another God or not, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
They need the Lord.
Yes.
Whether they will ever have Him or not, they need the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Everybody needs the Lord.
Everybody needs the Lord. Yes.
And He's available to everybody who will have Him.
Yes. Amen.
The Lord will, you know.
Yes.
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Praise the Lord. Father, we come before You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy and for Your great grace, Lord, work with You, save us. We thank You for the people of God. Father, we just thank You for being You, O God. We thank You, Lord, for how You've forgiven us and washed us. Lord, how You brought us and how You kept us. Lord, You are a great God and a good God. Lord, we worship Your name. Lord, we bow before Thee, Lord. Thou art our God. Lord, we glorify Thee, Lord. There is none like Thee, O Lord, and we thank You, O God. Lord, we thank You and thank You again, O God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, how You brought us and how You kept us, O God, how You led us, O Lord. Lord, we thank You so much for the patience You've had with us, O God, for the loving kindness You've had, Lord, for the gentle way, Lord, You brought us along. Lord, we thank You for every reproof, O God, and Lord, for every chastisement, Lord. Lord, how You've corrected us and kept us, O God, and led us and guided us. Lord, we can't thank You. We can't ever thank You enough, Lord, for what You have in store for us, Lord, for we are not worthy, O Lord. Lord, we've been made worthy and righteous through Thy precious Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ, Thy only begotten Son. We thank You for the Word, Lord, who came, Lord, and took flesh, O God, suffered and died and bled, died for us, Lord, whom You resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit, for whom we thank You also, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your dear Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that we've been translated into His kingdom. We belong to Him. Lord, we thank You so much. Lord, we thank You for Your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, who leads us and guides us and keeps us. Lord, if it were not for the keeping power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, none of us would stay saved. Lord, if it were not for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, none of us, Lord, would have life. None of us would have eternal life. Lord, if it were not for the Holy Spirit, Lord, none of us would be changed from one to another. Lord, we thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. The Lord, he reveals unto us the Word of God when we read it. Lord, we ask you to give us more of your Spirit. Lord, and I pray, Lord, you strengthen us in the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, that we would not only know the Word of God, but, Lord, we would have all understanding of God. Lord, that we would, it would be revealed unto us, Lord, that it would not just be words on paper, but life, Lord. Lord, we worship you and we glorify you, Lord. We look for your return, O God, and we are sure, Lord, of your return, O Lord. And Lord, we expect to go back with you when you come, O God. Lord, we are waiting for you, Lord. Lord, we will say, like you said in Zechariah, here thou, God, we have waited for you. And Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, to heal the sick, O God, all those who are sick in their bodies tonight. Lord, touch and remember Brother Wayne Walker tonight. Lord, he really needs you to give him a miracle. Lord, it is urgent, O God.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, make him all way whole in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this cancer and I command it to leave in Jesus' name and not return.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, strengthen Ella Rogers tonight, O God. Lord, give her her miracle. Let today be her day, O God. But Lord, we are sure that you're a miracle worker. Lord, we are sure. Lord, touch her in her body and make her all the way whole. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Lord, move in all of us, O God. Lord, we thank you for your healing power on all those who need healing, O God. All those who need deliverance. And Lord, spare our minds and our souls. Lord, give us, Lord, I pray, Lord, give us a desire to give ourselves over to you, O God. Lord, to allow the Spirit to come in and strengthen us with might by your Spirit. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would overflow our souls and overwhelm us, O God. Change our minds, change our affections, O God. Change our desires. Lord, change us. Lord, we want to be changed. Lord, I want to be changed. I want to be like you. Lord, I want to know your good and perfect will, God. Lord, change me, O Lord. Lord, please change me. Lord, move in, O God. Move among us, Lord. Make us like your precious Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord. Lord, that we would obey your will and that the Holy Spirit would work mightily through us. Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to work mightily through us, Lord, that we might bear fruit. Lord, move in us, Lord, that we would bear fruit. Lord, move in us, we would bear fruit. Ordain us to bear fruit, O God. That our fruit would remain, O God. Lord, move in us. Lord, move in me. Lord, move in the people in promise and all the churches, Lord, that we would bear fruit, Lord. Give us what to say and what to do, and that the Holy Spirit would be pleased and he would pour out on the words that we have, Lord, that out of our bellies would flow rivers of living water. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless our children. Keep them from the plague. We glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. People of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God.